Crack paused in his story and coughed pathetically.
I was the messenger, he said. After the battles precipitated by the appearance of your ship, which were particularly savage, many of our people died. I thought I could bring the reason back. I went and was told it by the leader of the princes, but on the way back, it slipped and melted away in my mind like snow in the sun. That was many years ago, and much has happened since then.
He looked up at Arthur and giggled again very gently.
There is one other thing I can remember from the truce, Drag, apart from the frogs, and that is God's last message to his creation. Would you like to hear it?
For a moment, they didn't know whether to take him seriously.
It's true, he said. For real, I mean it.
His chest heaved weakly and he struggled for breath. His head lolled slightly.
I wasn't very impressed with it when I first knew what it was, he said. But now I think back to how impressed I was by the prince's reason and how soon afterwards I couldn't recall it at all. I think it might be a lot more helpful. Would you like to know what it is? Would you?
They nodded dumbly.
I bet you would. If you're that interested, I suggest you go and look for it. It is written in 30-foot-high letters of fire on top of the Quenchilus Quasgar Mountains in the land of Sevor Boopstri on the planet Priliamtan, third out from the sun, thus in galactic sector QQ7 Active J Gamma. It is guarded by the majestic Vantrashel of Lob.
There was a long silence following this announcement, which was finally broken by Arthur. Sorry, it's where? He said.
It is written, repeated Prak, in 30-foot-high letters of fire on top of the Quenchilus Quasgar Mountains in the land of Sevor Boopstri on the planet Priliumtan, third out from the...
Sorry, said Arthur again. Which mountains?
The Quenchilus Quasgar Mountains in the land of Sevor Boopstri on the planet...
Which land was that? I didn't quite catch it.
Sevor Boopstri on the planet...
Servob... What?
Oh, for heaven's sake,
said Prak, and died testily. In the following days, Arthur thought a little about this message, but in the end he decided that he was not going to allow himself to be drawn by it, and insisted on following his original plan of finding a nice little world somewhere to settle down and lead a quiet, retired life. Having saved the universe twice in one day, he thought that he could take things a little easier from now on. They dropped him off on the planet Cricket, which is now once again an idyllic pastoral world, even if the songs did occasionally get on his nerves. He spent a lot of time flying. He learned to communicate with birds and discovered that their conversation was fantastically boring. It was all to do with wind speed, wingspans, power-to-weight ratios and a fair bit about berries. Unfortunately, he discovered, once you have learned bird speak, you quickly come to realise that the air is full of it the whole time, just inane bird chatter. There is no getting away from it. For that reason, Arthur eventually gave up the sport and learned to live on the ground and love it, despite a lot of the inane chatter he heard down there as well. One day, he was walking through the fields humming a ravishing tune he'd heard recently, when a silver spaceship descended from the sky and landed in front of him. A hatchway opened, a ramp extended, and a tall, grey-green alien marched out and approached him.
Arthur Phillip,
he said, then glanced sharply at him and down at his clipboard. He frowned. He looked up at him again.
I've done you before, haven't I?
He said.